Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lugauer. Loogie. Phone number to call, as always, 888-808-1019. Before we get into the Knicks victory, we're going to start off with OG Anunoby, who left the game with about 2.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. He was nowhere to be found. He was not on the Knicks bench, and he did not come back into the game. Now, I'm watching the game. I'm locked in. I'm texting all my friends, and none of us really knew what happened, when it happened. The broadcast made no reference to it as far as I heard, you know, or any of us heard. So it was very confusing. I was checking Twitter. Nobody seemed to know what was going on other than the fact that OG Anunoby was not on the court and he was not on the bench. And obviously with a guy like OG, who not only how important he is to this team, and I called him the MVP of the playoffs so far yesterday, and we know in years past when Anunoby has gone down in the playoffs or the regular season, it hurts this Knicks team in a big-time way. He is so vital because of what he can do on both ends of the floor, and he just fits this team perfectly like a glove with their star player, Brunson, and their second star player, Karl-Anthony Towns. So I'm waiting with bated breath for Mike Brown to speak to the media, which took about a half hour, 35 minutes after the game. And finally, Mike Brown, you know, went to the podium, talked about the game, talked about the fouls and everything, and talked about Mikal Bridges' greatness, which we'll get to in a little bit. And then he was finally asked, I think it was Ian Begley that asked him about Anunoby, because in between the game and Mike Brown's press conference, Twitter, which is the best, it could be the worst, it could be the best, but someone was able to find the clip of where Anunoby got hurt. He went to cut to the basket, then he missed a dunk. Like, if you remember back, it was, you know, a couple minutes left, like 2.5. And he misses a dunk. It almost looked like he made the dunk. And the ball went, like, flying. And then he raised his hands in the air, looking to get subbed out. And then, and I don't want to speculate, so I'm not going to say what I think it might be, but it was definitely lower body. So hopefully everything is all right there. I don't love the fact, okay, let me get into this because I was about to, I know what Mike Brown said, you don't. I thought I already told you. Mike Brown was asked about it, and we'll get the audio up here in just 1 second for you, everyone to hear, but I'll paraphrase because he didn't say much. He was asked about OG Anunoby, and he basically provided no update. In fact, Mike Brown seemed almost shocked and stunned that the question was even asked about OG Anunoby. Like, he wasn't in the game? He wasn't on the bench? Oh, we don't have an update for that. It's like, okay, that's not great, because I feel like you would have something, because he hadn't played the final 2.5 minutes. It was probably, like I said, at least a half hour, 35 minutes after the game ended and you meeting the media. So I would imagine one of your players that are in your starting lineup, a stalwart of this team, a guy that is so important, so vital, a guy that has a long injury history, he checks himself out of the playoff game with a couple minutes left, and then you meet the media like about 30, 35, 40 minutes, maybe even longer, real time, and you don't have an update, and you almost seem surprised with the question. I don't want to speculate, but I would have liked to have heard something, and I'm sure we will, and it'll likely be either later tonight if someone sniffs around or early tomorrow. And obviously, OG Anunoby is vital to this team. Now, you're up 2-0 in this series, and I think the Sixers are basically cooked, but you're going to need OG Anunoby going forward after the Sixers, and you'd like to have him here, of course. You know, no lead is ever safe in a series, and you don't want to pop the champagne. This feels like Knicks in five. I would think the Sixers get a moment at home, they win a game, and then the Knicks close it out in five. Knicks split on the road version of this when they go down to Philadelphia, MSG South. But obviously, Anunoby's injury would have a big-time effect on this. So in some ways, it overshadows the victory a little bit, which was another great win by the Knicks. Even though it wasn't in dominating fashion, it was a back-and-forth type of game. I think it was the most lead changes. I got to double-check. I think it was like 25 lead changes, which is like the first time that it's gotten to that number in a playoff game in like 10 years or something like that. So it was a very fun, entertaining game from that perspective. But at no point did I feel like the Knicks were going to lose the game. At no point. I was not sweating it out at all. You could see that the Sixers had tired legs, especially in the fourth quarter. They did not shoot well at all in the fourth quarter, which I think is a big credit to the Knicks defensively, especially guys like Bridges, especially guys like Anunoby before he came out of the game. Maxey and George combined 2-for-12 in the fourth quarter. The Sixers were 4-19 overall in the fourth quarter. A lot of that was the Knicks' defense, and some of it was the Sixers just looked tired. They don't have a ton of depth. Embiid was out, probably crying about something somewhere. And they just came off a series where they were down 3-1 and battled back and ultimately won it in a Game 7 in Boston. And now the turnaround here, back on the road against the Knicks, a place where the Knicks have dominated all year long at Madison Square Garden. So it's a very friendly confine for the Knicks, that's for sure. But Anunoby, to me, is the key here. Like, his health is the big story. Because I do believe this series, I don't see where the Sixers are going to, they have no depth. Who knows what you're going to get out of Embiid going forward. Maxey was really good in the first half, which you figured, and then the Knicks basically put the clamps on him. They put him in the blender, and he had no chance in the second half. None. And I don't see where the Sixers are really going to get a lot of offense in this series if the Knicks continue to play this way. Now, obviously, Anunoby's health will factor into that defensively for the Knicks, but the way Bridges is playing, and hopefully Mitchell Robinson coming back, who is out with an illness, will help you defensively as well. But the Knicks just have too much firepower. They just have too much depth, even with an Anunoby injury. Now, OG is a guy you need, you know, going forward, obviously. You want him upright, and you want him in the lineup. And this team is just not the same without him. But I still think they would have enough to get by this series. So again, you don't want to, or I certainly don't want to speculate on what's going on in terms of what type of injury or what it could mean. It would have been nice to have been provided some type of update on what it was, but we did not get that from Mike Brown. We basically got a, OG wasn't out there. It's news to me. I'm paraphrasing. He didn't actually say that, but he just looked stunned by, what do you mean OG Anunoby's not out there? Well, we'll let you know. We'll get back to you. I don't even mean to laugh because obviously it's Anunoby's an important player. It was just, I was stunned by that response, to be honest with you. So you could take that one of two ways. One, it's a no biggie and it's whatever. Or two, they're worried about something and they don't want to say anything before they have conclusive evidence to what it might be. And now we as Knicks fans sit here where it's a night of celebration for sure. They go up 2-0. They've now won, what, five playoff games in a row. This is the first one. It was in non-convincing fashion, but still a game that I thought was very much, to me, never something that I was worried about this team losing. Even with the first half that was, I guess for their standards lately, wasn't great, but they still put up, what, 61 points? They gave up 62. That was the problem. But then in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter, the defense just went to another level. And Philly had absolutely no shot. I mean, you could build a house with all the bricks they put up there. And Cat, when he wasn't in foul trouble, was awesome again, another double-double. Now, the foul trouble, especially for Cat and Mitch when he played in game one, that is something going forward in this series, if you want to start looking for concerns, that's a concern. It hasn't cost them yet because the Knicks are just better and they have more depth. Much like with the Hawks, it's just, yeah, there are things that the Knicks necessarily aren't doing perfectly, especially early on in that series, but it wasn't like Atlanta had enough to ultimately win the series. And I feel the same exact way here with the Knicks and Sixers. Yeah, foul trouble is a problem, and Mike Brown spent about 6 minutes after the game talking about it because he's trying to get calls on his side. I understand that. And it's a physical series, and you know that Philly, look, they understand they're undermanned. They understand they're not as good. So they're going to try everything in their power to even the scales. And one of the ways you do that is by getting the whistle and trying to play physical, getting the heads of your opponent, and trying to get to the foul line. So I do like the idea that Mike Brown talked about it in the postgame because he's trying to get the officials to call the game where his team is going to the line a hell of a lot more than the opponent. But there were just a ton of fouls overall in this game. It's never a good watch when that type of stuff is going on. But outside of that, the game was entertaining. And certainly the Knicks, as Brunson was great in the fourth quarter, which he often is. Now, when he's just dribbling, and sort of that putting the cape on thing, sometimes that's to the detriment of the Knicks. Tonight it wasn't, especially when you consider how well they played defensively. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call, and it is the number to join the conversation. And we'll get more into what's going on this evening as well, the Yankees, the Mets, who are still in action. So plenty of baseball coming up later, but we're going to start off with, of course, the Knicks, and another great win, 2-0 in the series. But the big story is the injury, presumably, because he left the game and there was no update after the game, including, hey, he's fine. That was the other part of it, too. Like, Mike Brown could have just said, no, he's all good. OG's fine. He had a sub out of the game, cramp, not a big deal. He left us with nothing. So I hate speculating about injuries. I hate even calling it an injury. But when a player subs himself out of a game and never comes back in a close game, 2.5 minutes in a playoff game, and then there's no update on him 40 minutes later, it doesn't make you feel all warm and gooey inside, that's for sure. So hopefully we hear something soon, tomorrow, or even late this evening, like I said, if somebody could sniff around. But I'd imagine everybody's waiting on the Knicks for the injuries. And when it comes to them, it could be like Area 51. It could be tough to get information out of them. But if you saw the replay, you saw the clip, and it's all over social media, it was when Anunoby missed a dunk, and then he kind of raised his hands. It was late in the game, obviously. Put his hands in the air and was kind of hobbling around a little bit. And I'm not a doctor, but I could, you know, it's not, you don't have to be one to see that it was lower body, for sure. And like I said, you don't want to race in your brain, oh, could it be this, could it be that, because who knows? Could be nothing. He could wake up tomorrow and feel totally fine and be in the lineup on Friday. Or could just have one day off and then be back on Sunday. Don't know. With Anunoby, you always have to be on pins and needles with him because we've seen him get hurt a bunch. And when he does get hurt, it feels like he's out for a while. It never feels like, all right, he's going to be back. And it always seems like it's on the longer end when it comes to the injury timeline for him. And the Knicks are always cloak and dagger when it comes to Anunoby with his injuries, too. It's always day-to-day, he's day-to-day. And then next thing you know, you look up and it's 14 days later and he's still out of the lineup. And obviously, if it's a 14-day thing, that would be a major problem. But no reason to speculate, no reason to fear that. But you'd like to hear something so that we can at least get a feel for what this might be. And unfortunately, we did not receive an update at all from Mike Brown. But I'll keep an eye on it. If the team puts something out there on social media, I will have it for you immediately. That way, we have at least an idea. Now, if it's lower body, I told you lower body. So if they tell us lower body, we all know that by watching it. So hopefully, they identify a body part, and then we can go from there. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. I see a full rack. We'll get to everybody. Tons of Nick calls. Like I said, we'll mix in the baseball throughout the show. I got you till 2 a.m. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the late night, after hours here on The Fan. It is after hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. You know, I was talking to Connor, producer Connor, and welcome back for a long trip to Ireland. Top of the morning to Connor. He is back, and I love to have Connor back with me because, let's be honest, I mean, Rosenberg's a stiff, so I need Connor here to enhance what is already a great show. But I told him, I was like, Connor, I don't know what the heck's going on. I'm pumped up. Did I sound loud in that open? He's like, yeah, everything sounded good. I was like, I don't know. And then I noticed I didn't have my headphones plugged in correctly. It's like, that's what happened. Because now I got the Steve Summers headphones going right now. We are in full stereo. This one goes to 11. So we're all good. I thought your boy was a little, because I don't drink coffee anymore. As you know, I've completely quit drinking coffee. Now, I will have caffeine from time to time, especially on a bro trip or, I'm going to the moon, I'll see you at the stars. So some of those nights I have to ratchet it up a little bit. But for the shows here, I already have that type of energy. I was like, did I have the energy in that open? And I was like, oh, the headphones were not plugged in properly, which is on me. I mean, do you work in engineering or not? I guess I don't, because I didn't have the headphones plugged in properly. But now I do, so I'll be able to hear you, and we'll be able to hear Mike Brown coming up in just 1 second, because I kind of transcribed it for you in the last segment when Brown met the media after the game and was asked about OG Anunoby. But rather than have me describe it to you again, let's just hear from the head coach of the Knicks. So this is Mike Brown after the game. I believe it was Ian Begley who asked him the question about OG Anunoby leaving the game with 2.5 minutes in the fourth quarter and whether or not there was any type of medical update on OG.
You know, I haven't talked to anybody or the same thing. He looked like he was hopping, but I have not talked to medical yet.
Okay, so they cut out a little bit of the beginning part. He when he was asked about it, he was I don't want to say flustered, but they left that part out. But that's okay, but he did seem a little bit like, okay, OG Anunoby, and then he provided that, which was nothing. He hasn't talked to medical. Take that, whatever you want to take from it. I would think you would have talked to medical about a very important player who left a playoff game with 2.5 minutes left in the game. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. I'm not suggesting that he's not telling the truth. I just am saying that it's just weird that he hasn't talked to medical yet when you are meeting the media and you know that's going to be the first question they ask you is about OG Anunoby, who left the game and subbed himself out with 2.5 minutes left. Shouldn't you have an answer to provide for not only the media, but more importantly, us, the fans, because we want to know what the heck's going on? And even if you don't know what's going on, you could at least say, hey, we talked to medical, it's lower body, we're trying to figure out what's going on, he came out of the game. Yeah, he was hobbling around. We know he was hobbling around. We saw that. That we could see. But we're not doctors. We're not medical. So we'd like to know what's going on medically. And unfortunately, as you heard in the clip, and like I said, the longer clip was, I think, even worse response. And you know, I'm on edge only because I want Anunoby to be all right. And I hate stuff like this when there are injuries, when sometimes, and I get it, it's sensitive. You want to make sure everything's good before you provide anything. You don't want people, but then you leave everybody hanging, and then there's speculation, which I'm not going to do, other than saying obviously it was lower body, and he came out of the game with 2.5 minutes left, was not on the bench. Nobody on the broadcast, as far as I know, made any reference to it. Social media was trying to figure out what was going on. I was trying to figure out what was going on. My group text was trying to figure out what was going on. Everybody was trying to figure out what was going on. Nobody had any answers, and we still don't have any answers because Mike Brown didn't talk to the medical people, you know, 30, 40 minutes after the game when he met the media. You know what I mean? In that in-between. I would think you would seek out the medical people within the 40 minutes that you had between the game ending and you meeting the media, when you know it's going to be the first question that someone asks. And it literally was the first question that was asked. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's After Hours. Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. Let's go to Steve in Bayville. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's going on? How are we?
How you doing, bro? What's happening?
I'd be doing better if I knew the status of this guy.
Yeah, so you're on my side. And I understand that they can't provide, you know, everything, but how about something? Not, we didn't speak to the medical people yet. Well, when are you going to do that? Can you speak to somebody in medical now and then get back to us? We'll give you our information, Mike, and then call us up. Like, can you go back there, speak to somebody in medical, and then get back in front of the podium and let us know what's going on?
I hope Mike Brown hears this and he calls in and gives the update live on here.
Well, so the cynical side of me thinks they know and they don't want to say anything.
I think if you knew and it was bad, you kind of hear quicker usually.
No,
like
I know, but
you hear a player go down like
that. Right. But I'm saying, but to say that they haven't, but it's weird to think they didn't discuss it at all. Why wouldn't he want to know what's going on with OG Anunoby? Wouldn't that be the first thing he seeks out after the game is over? He knows he left the game. Wouldn't you immediately go to medical and say, what is going on here?
Yeah, I mean, especially after what happened against the Pacers 2 years ago.
Of course. I mean, it derailed the entire... Look, and I brought it up and people mocked me for it, but it's true. Attrition won out there and the Knicks lost to attrition, and it started with Anunoby. The Knicks were rolling, and then Anunoby got hurt, and then everyone else basically got hurt as well. And we know how important Anunoby is to this team. Everybody does. That's why we all just want to know what's going on.
He's been the best player in the playoffs.
Correct. He's been the MVP of this team in the playoffs, no doubt about it. And he is so important to this
phenomenal.
Team. Yep. And look, his importance on both ends of the floor has always been such a hallmark for this team. So you just know that you don't want to see anybody go down, but you know that Anunoby in many ways is the engine to this team. And if he's out for a while, it's going to be very difficult for them to continue doing what they've been doing.
You hope it's a 1 week thing at worst, and that Cleveland can take Detroit 7.
Right. Yeah. No. Again.
Give them some time.
Yeah, I hear you, Steve. And like I said, I hate doing this stuff. It sucks because we're talking about somebody who potentially could be hurt, and we're all speculating, and none of us are doctors. We don't even know what's going on. We just know it's lower body because we could see it. And if you don't have social media, I could describe it to you. He missed a dunk. It was with a couple minutes left in the fourth quarter, and he came up hobbled a little bit, put his hands in the air to indicate either he wanted the ball or he wanted to be subbed out. Either way, he put his hands up, and then we didn't see him again. And then there's no update. No, I hear what you mean, though. Like, if something was really bad, they'd be saying he's going for this, he's going for that. I get it. But it just leaves us all in the dark, which is never a fun feeling. And he could have said everything's okay. And hopefully everything is okay. Hopefully he's fine. He wakes up tomorrow, it's all good. And he's back in the lineup on Friday. Because if he is, this series is over in 5. I don't see it going any further than that. Philly has no depth. Embiid, is he going to be able to do anything in this series? And even if he gets back on the court, is he going to be able to stay on the court? The Sixers look tired tonight. They were locked down defensively, especially in the fourth quarter. 2-for-12 from the floor for Maxey and George in the fourth quarter. 4-for-19 overall in the fourth for the Sixers. Maxey, who was great in the first half, had no shot in the second half. Literally no shot. Like, he couldn't make a shot, and he had no shot to make a shot because the defense was terrific, especially from Mikal Bridges, who has been awesome the last three games. On both ends, scoring, defense, he's been incredible. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Tom in Howell, New Jersey. What's up, Tom?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's up?
Obviously, you know, great win. You know, also, you know, worried about OG. Now, just quickly before I get to my point, I actually did not yet have a chance to see the clip. Did it look more like a non-contact thing, or did he fall?
Non-contact.
All right, so that's always obviously, you know, troubling.
And I'm going to do what I'm going to do for you, Tom. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it again as you're talking, and then I will kind of describe it to everybody. Go ahead, talk.
Right. Now, my point about Mike Brown, you know, everyone's been lauding him the last couple of games, the blowouts, you know, the adjustments, and obviously he deserves that. But, you know, I wanted to see in a tight game how he manages the last couple minutes, the clutch time.
Same.
And I feel like, again, you know, like the last 5 minutes, Cat was the best player in the second half. You could correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think Cat had a shot attempt in the last 5 minutes. It was more of the ISO ball.
It was.
Sloppy possession.
It was. And then, you know what? They got away with it.
Something that still worries me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I do.
Why is Cat not involved late in these games? He has been the best player in the second half, and he doesn't touch the ball in clutch time.
I'm with you 100%. I even said it in my open. I said you saw a lot of ISO dribbling from Brunson late in the game, but it didn't come back to bite them. I think in large part because they played really good defense and Philly couldn't buy a bucket. If they were shooting a lot better, perhaps it would have, especially with Anunoby not being on the floor, I think this game could have went a different direction. By the way, so I watched the clip again. Anunoby cuts. So he cuts to the basket, and he grabs for his hamstring, and then he goes up for a dunk, misses the dunk badly, and then puts his hands in the air. So that's the
clip. Got it. So maybe like a knee or hamstring or something like that.
I guess. I mean, I'm looking. I hate speculating, but it looked like he grabbed like the back there, which is usually the back of his leg, which is usually a hamstring.
Right. No, just my main point again, you know, I think Cat has been tremendous in this series, and I just want to see him touching the ball late in games.
Yeah, I'm with you. I 100%, Tom. And now, listen, Cat's been getting in some foul trouble, so that's been limiting his minutes a little bit. But when he's on the floor late in the game, I think the Knicks are at their best when it's not ISO ball, you know, when they're spreading it around. Everybody's getting a touch, and especially Towns, because he needs to eat for sure. That's the reason you brought him here, to be that second superstar.
So, do you think that's more on Brunson or more on Brown?
I always kind of split it there. I think it's between the three of them, really. I think it's on Brown, it's on Brunson, it's on Cat. I think Cat could be more assertive and demand the ball. I think Brunson can give up the ball, and Mike Brown can draw up plays to get Cat the basketball. So I think they share the blame. Now, it might not be equal percentages of sharing that blame, but I do think all three are accountable for when Cat is not involved, especially late in the games. And by the way, we've seen it a lot in the playoffs so far. Now, they've been awesome, the Knicks, so it's been sort of hidden, you know, a couple losses to Atlanta, but overall it hasn't bit them in the ass. But it's definitely something to just keep a slight eye on, because the Knicks are not at their best when they're doing that, and if they play a team that could take advantage of it, it could go against the Knicks for sure.
100%. Yep. All right, let's at least, celebrate tonight.
Absolutely.
And hope for the best on OG.
Yep. Well said, Tom. I think that's the best way to say it. Celebrate tonight and worry. Pray for the best for OG, for sure. Hope for the best. Having a little sip of water there. I apologize. Not that you needed to know that, but I just figured I'd let you know. A little bit of the sipski of the water there. By the way, was it raining really hard tonight? I mean, we lost DirecTV for a little while here. I was like, doesn't that only happen when it storms? I don't know if it was right.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's PRENUVO.com.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
And there was no delay in the Yankee game. And we'll get to the Yankees coming up in a little bit as Nathan Eovaldi continues to dominate the Yankees. Like, anytime they see Eovaldi, he just puts up zero after zero after zero. And then, of course, the Mets as well, as they are playing game two. Remember, last night got essentially snowed out and they didn't have that game, so tomorrow is the makeup for that game, and then they're playing this evening in Denver, in Colorado. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Brendan in New Jersey. What's up, Brendan?
Hey, Tommy. We were just coming off MSG. Great night, great win for the Knicks, obviously, with the air kind of getting taken out of the sails as OG. As you've talked about, who do you think gets more run if he's out for any extended amount of time? And our Mets look like they might have remembered how to hit a baseball. So that's a good plus, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, when it comes to OG, I think it might mean more minutes for everybody else in the starting lineup for sure. And it'll someone's going to have to step up. Obviously, Huck Porty was out there a bunch tonight without Mitch. And Mitch is another one. You know, he's sick. So hopefully he feels better, especially with Anunoby not out there. I would think Mitchell Robinson would get a lot more minutes. You'd see the double big, assuming he's healthy. Healthy meaning health-wise, and not sick, because obviously he's fine injury-wise. And so I would think Mitchell Robinson would certainly fit that vein. You get Huck Porty in there a little bit. But yeah, it's tough, because you can't replace the type of player he is. They don't have – Bridges is yeah. Similar, but they don't really have anybody else where you're like, okay, that could be Anunoby. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's been shooting the ball so well, too. I mean, you can't replace that kind of production from behind the three-point line. He's been scoring at all three levels. I mean, it's been great to watch, for sure.
I grew up
with Cat, so it's fun. I went to St. Joe's with him, so good to see him flourishing and, rooting for our boys to continue the good vibes.
Absolutely. I mean, look, you have Jeremy Sochan. It's tough, because when he could get a little bit of burn, and he does have that ability to defend on the wing. So he could give you that. He can't give you any offense, really, but he could give you wing defense. But with Anunoby, you're losing a guy that could drop 27 basically every game. Now, Clarkson could score. Like I said, Sochan could play some defense. You want Mitchell Robinson out there more. You could do the double bigs, assuming he's healthy and ready to go on Friday, Mitch is, because he was out today with an illness. But ultimately, this team needs to get, you hold the fort down. If OG misses a little bit of time, you could hold the fort. And then when he gets back, all good. And hopefully we get an update sooner rather than later, because we did not get one this evening. Or certainly not yet. Like I said, maybe the Knicks put something out there on Twitter, but as far as the head coach, as far as Mike Brown, when he met the media, he did not provide any type of update on what exactly went down with Anunoby. Is he hurt? Is it serious? What is injured? What's going on? We've been left hanging here, essentially, and trying to figure out and hoping for the best for a guy that has been the MVP so far in the playoffs for the Knicks. And I said that last night. I said, night in, night out, this guy has been the MVP. And we know how valuable he is. We know how, when he came over in that trade, when RJ went to Toronto, when IQ went to Toronto, and Anunoby came over here, the Knicks really took off as a team. You know, he changed the dynamic. If you remember, they couldn't guard at all. They were so bad defensively before he arrived. So bad. And that's one of the reasons why I was thrilled when he got traded here, because I knew he was an excellent defender. One of, if not the best wing defenders, perimeter defenders in the entire league. And he can lock down your best player even if he's a big. So I was very, very, very excited when that trade went down. And obviously, immediately, his presence was felt. And whenever he's out of the lineup, his lack of presence being out there is certainly felt as well. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to, this is funny, you have two callers here. I'll peel back the curtain. One says Mike Brown is a great coach. The other says didn't love Brown's coaching. So we're going to hear from both of them back to back. Let's start with Andrew, who's on the side of Mike Brown. He is in North Salem. Andrew, what's going on?
Hell yeah, I'm definitely on the side of Mike Brown. What can Brown do for you?
Well, listen, he's done a lot lately, and I thought early on in the series against Atlanta he was being outcoached. But ever since then, this team has been on a roll. They have made a lot of adjustments, especially defensively. Like the Knicks defensively, ever since going down 2-1 to the Hawks, they have been awesome. Awesome. And they were at it again tonight in the second half. And he deserves credit for that. So early on in the playoffs,
injured. If he comes back, like, they might try and hit him. I mean, Joel talked about that the other day. They're going to play dirty.
Yep.
But also, Brown was taking those timeouts, like, late in the fourth, and I was kind of like, why? They might have momentum. We're winning.
By the way,
but, like, we won the game.
Not to cut you off, but something you said there, I don't want to go unnoticed. You're right about that stuff with Embiid and this team, and if the Sixers feel like they're out of it, like, if it's 3-0, I think they will be careful with Anunoby, because they know Embiid might take a shot, or they might, especially when he was crying about Bridges taking a shot at him, he might want to get his lick back. He might want to give a receipt. So if they're up 3-0, let's say Anunoby misses the game on Friday, they're up 3-0, I don't think you see him, because they could be like, Wilson, this team might take a cheap shot on him. It could make the injury worse. So I hear what you're saying. I think they could put him in bubble wrap if he is even available to come back in a couple days.
Correct. I completely agree. And he pulled Cat when he had the 3 fouls. And like, Cat was kind of arguing about it, but it preserved him to come back in the third quarter. And he basically sparked them in the third quarter with a dynamic performance there. And if he had gotten that fourth in the second quarter, like, we wouldn't even seen him.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just going through my brain too. Diawara is another guy that could be utilized with OG out. And Mo had a really good regular season, a great find from Leon Rose. And these are the guys that have to step up. And this is one of the reasons why you give burn to these players in the regular season. Because if you need Diawara now, you can go to him and trust him, because he started a couple games during the regular season. He played a bunch of minutes. There is some form of familiarity with him and the starting lineup or guys off the bench. Nobody is Anunoby. Nobody. They can't duplicate him. But guys like Diawara, even Sohan. Obviously, you'll see more Clarkson, but Clarkson, it's offense. With Shamet, it's offense. Alvarado, it's defense, but a different type of defense. He's not as big, he's not as physical, obviously, as Anunoby is. But yeah, hopefully it was cramps. But if it was cramps, wouldn't they have just said it's cramps? He's fine. Remember with Soto, remember with Lindor, when Mendoza was asked about it after the game, we all hoped it was cramps. If it was cramps, they would have said something. Because that's everybody calm down, it's just cramps, he's fine. All good. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours here on The Fan. A loogie here in the late night. Now we heard from the good side of Mike Brown as far as a supporter. Now let's hear from a detractor of Mike Brown. Let's go to Long Island. Will is on The Fan. What's up, Will?
Hey, what's up? First long time from Woodbury.
Appreciate you, bro. Thanks.
I'm just getting home from the game. I was at the Garden Center.
Awesome.
With my son.
Very nice.
Does Mike Brown not ever challenge a call? It was probably two or three plays in the first half.
Yeah.
The players were begging for a challenge. Brunson's begging, and he's just standing there.
That's been a thing with him a lot this year. I don't have an answer for you in terms of why he doesn't do it, but it does happen often where you're just screaming for him to challenge something, and for some reason, he doesn't. Now, I don't know if he looks over at the bench and somebody tells him no, like in baseball. I don't know what the deal is there, but you are right. He tends to be hesitant when it comes to that part of his coaching.
Yeah. And then, like, using that first timeout in the fourth with 4 minutes to go, he had four. Philly had, I think, one or two.
Yep.
He calls that timeout for no reason at all.
Another thing that has been bad, you know, that he's done throughout the playoffs. Yep, that you're right. That's another thing that's been a little bit of a head-scratcher. So, look, Mike Brown has been good. I mean, I think he deserves credit for how they played, you know, the final three games against Atlanta and then the first two here.
Definitely.
But it's still, there are still some things that make you worrisome about him. And I still want to see him in these close games, push all the right buttons. And nobody's perfect, but you got to be pretty close if you're going to win a championship. And head coaching matters so much more in the playoffs than it does in the regular season. I think if Tibbs was still the coach, they would have won 50-plus games. It wouldn't have mattered. This is where you're going to find out if Mike Brown and the hiring of Mike Brown was the correct thing. Because if he can get this team to the finals and they can win a championship, obviously, finals, bare minimum, it'll make sense to fire Tibbs and then hired Brown. But he's got to win these close games, push all the right buttons, and be the superior coach to the other guy on the bench.
I totally agree with you. I read today that Billy Donovan's waiting for either the Knicks job or the Magic job. But I say we go get Todd Golden from Florida.
Yeah, I don't know what Golden's situation there is, if he wants to leave or not. Billy Donovan, obviously, I'm sure would be very, very high, if not top of the list for the Knicks. If you remember, there was a report that came out during the first round or right before it started where they said the report was, hey, even if Mike Brown makes the finals and they lose, he could be out of a job, which seems crazy, but to your point, Billy Donovan is out there, and they might be courting Billy Donovan. Now, look, that's down the line, obviously. It would be, to me, nuts if they did that if they get to the finals. And you just fired a coach from getting the Eastern Conference finals, and now a guy gets to the finals, you fire him too? That seems to be pretty outrageous. But with Donovan out there, it does change a lot of the conversation, for sure. And that's why it's on Mike Brown to get it done. And let's, if he gets to the finals and they do lose, be like, hey, listen, I got the team to the finals. If you want to fire me, you can fire me. But I did my job this year. I got the team further than they did last year, and I got the team to the finals for the first time in decades. So ultimately, we'll find out what happens. But look, I understand it, Will, and I appreciate the call. I understand if there's detractors from Brown. I understand there's supporters. I think he hasn't been perfect in the playoffs, but he's been pretty damn good in the last five games. Pretty damn good. And the Knicks are clicking on all cylinders. And the only things that you even have a slight concern with are Cat being in foul trouble. And then the thing you have major concerns with is Anunoby and his whatever happened tonight in terms of, and if you missed it, it's all over social media, but I could pretty much reenact it for you verbally. He went to cut. He appeared to grab his hamstring. He then went up for a dunk. He missed the dunk badly And it even seemed, because I missed the him grabbing the hammy or whatever he grabbed, the back of his leg. I missed that kind of live because you're just watching the game. You're so, you know, caught up in it. But when he missed the dunk, I was like, that was a weird, it almost looked like he made the dunk. And I'm like, oh, he missed that? That was odd. And then he put his hands up, taken out of the game, wasn't seen again, wasn't seen on the bench. And then we'll play the clip again later on. But Mike Brown was asked about it after the game. And figure he met the media 30, 35 minutes after the game ended. Anunoby came out 2.5 minutes left in the game. So that's what, close to 45 minutes, an hour, real time? And he didn't have any update at that point? So it leaves all of us sort of speculating and or just sitting here hoping for the best. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's After Hours. It is Lugie here in the late night. Tommy Lugauer on the Fan. I got you for another 2.5 hours. Plenty of your time for your Knicks calls, reaction to Game 2 as the Knicks have gone up 2-0 in their series as it shifts to Philly on Friday night. We also have the Yankees, who were dominated by Nathan Eovaldi tonight. For the second straight time, they were dominated by their former mate. And now, the Mets, as they are out in Colorado. No snow tonight, no ice. It seems like everything is good, although cold, very cold. Everybody's extremely bundled up, which, look, the weather in Colorado is nuts. I mean, one day it could be 100 degrees. The next day it could be 6 feet of snow. But it does look like it's freezing there. I mean, they just had snow yesterday in early May. But we will get into the Mets later on in the show. The Knicks will carry most of the conversation here on After Hours for the next 2.5 hours. 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer here on the Fan. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on the Fan. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. We'll get back to your calls in just 1 second. WFAN and Corona are throwing a watch party Friday night as New York takes on Philadelphia for Game 3 of the conference semifinals. Join New York basketball legend Charles Smith at Buddy's on 3rd Avenue in New York City. Yours truly will be there as well. Corona will be flowing all game along with specials and swag for fans. Just like Charles Smith was on the hardwood, Corona is always smooth, always refreshing, and goes perfectly watching a game. That's Game 3, Friday night at Buddy's on 3rd Avenue. Enjoy Corona buckets and watch New York drop buckets with Corona and WFAN. Please drink responsibly. Very much looking forward to that. Friday night, never met Charles Smith. Looking forward to meeting Charles Smith. Looking forward to hanging out with all of you. So if you have no plans on Friday, and even if you have plans, cancel the plans. You got new plans. Hanging out with your boy in New York City. My old stomping grounds, by the way. As you know, I'm not a New York City resident anymore. In some ways, I wish I still was in the city. But I always love getting after it, getting in the mix in the city. So I'll be out here Friday night for Game 3. Watching the game, enjoying it at Buddy's on 3rd Avenue. Right here in the greatest city in the world, New York City. Buddy's, 3rd Avenue, New York City. So like I said, if you don't have plans and you want to come watch the game with myself, with Charles Smith, and obviously fellow New Yorkers, fellow Knicks fans, you definitely want to swing by. And I'll probably be there early. I mean, the game starts at 7, but you know me. I mean, I'll be out there. And once the game ends, after hours, you know. I told my wife I had something going on in the city on Friday. I didn't tell her what time I had anything going on. I just said I had something going on. So the way I look at it is, well, listen, the trains were, and she'll go to bed early. I could be out all night. You never know. So you could have a little bit of the game with your boy, a little bit of after hours. It'll be a fun night in New York City as the Knicks look to take a commanding 3-0 lead as they head down to Philadelphia on Friday night. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. It is Tommy Lugauer here on the Fan. Let's go to Mike in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
Good evening, Thomas. How are you this week?
Good, good. What's happening?
Dude, I gave, by the way, I told Al you gave him and I a compliment about our back and forth as friends. So that was, he liked it, actually. I spoke to him last night, number one.
Yeah, because it sounds like you guys are just friends. What I love about it is you guys sound like you're friends at the bar talking sports. It doesn't sound like a sports talk radio call where sometimes it's a little bit of somebody's talking and then I talk and everyone wants to get their bleep in. It just sounds like a conversation between two friends. So I admire it. It's very good. I enjoy it.
And I want what to go. I'll call you weekly, well, probably once a week, Wednesday or Thursday. And if anything's like big or important, I'll call you twice a week. I'm not like Ozzy, and I'm also like, by the way, did you steal Bob's cat or something? What happened with that?
Well, a couple things. To be fair, Ozzy will only calls my show once a week. He will break his own rule and call twice if it's necessary. So it's only break with emergency. So yeah. Ozzy's very good about that with his self-control. Now, what happened here? What did I do?
No, Bob last night.
Bob. Oh, is that? No, Rhode Island. Yeah, Bob. No, I don't know what was going on with Bob. And I thought we had an understanding because he cursed a couple of times. He got on me a few months ago, and he was just getting all over me about I'm full of myself, I'm not Steve Summers, I'm not this, I'm not that. And then I thought we came to an understanding, and it sounds like from last night we have not.
He was on CMAC as well, too. But I always have it. I played for years and years and years. I have, like, probably, I think he's like 40, 41. I have like 12 or 13 years on you, but I listen pretty much every day. My girlfriend gets mad at me and my kids and whatever when they're over. But the thing is, first of all, the Knicks, dude, good game tonight. I'm going to the game, actually, in Philly on Friday.
Beautiful.
I am.
Are you taking your family or you're just kind of going?
No. Actually, no. My buddy actually picked up tickets, like four tickets, like before even like, they knew he definitely knew that they were going to win or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like that Philly was going to win, so we bought tickets through them, and it was like $200 a piece. I'm like, I can't. But I was talking to Al last night. He said it might be a little raucous down there. I said, listen, I'm not. Yeah, I don't want any raucous. I'm not going to wear any Knicks stuff or whatever. I want the Knicks to win, but dude, it's a hard. What do you call it? Like I said, I'm 12, 13 years older than you, and it's a hard watch, even like winning tonight. I don't understand. I don't understand the threes. I don't understand the fouls. I don't understand the flops. I watched Jordan, you know, Barkley. I watched all these guys in the heyday. It's a totally different sport. It's a hard watch.
Yeah, it's the evolution of the game. Some of it, I think, for the better. Some of it for the worse. And the flopping is not new. I mean, that's been around for a while here, even in the 90s. I mean, Reggie was a flopper to a degree. Scottie Pippen, they would pump fake, get you in the air, bump into you. So some of that stuff has been around even since the 90s. Now, as far as the goons down in Philly, look, If you wear Knick gear, they're going to, because usually it's, well, if you...
I will not.
Usually the idea is, well, if you don't instigate and you're not a loudmouth, they'll leave you alone. That's untrue, because
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
I went down there in Knick gear and I kept to myself, went to the bathroom, and I was literally being heckled by every... It was crazy. I went, it was a long line to get in the bathroom. So I go in, I do whatever I got to do. I walk out and everybody online... Like it was the Scarlet Letter. Like it was a Scarlet Letter. Like shame, shame, shame. I heard it from everybody. So if you don't wear the gear, you'll probably be all right.
I hear you. All right. Just a quick Met point. And like I said, I'll do the once a week thing. We'll get there as well. But and I appreciate you. Like I told you, I've been following you ever since you were on in the morning show as well. But
thank you.
The thing with the Mets is, and I understand you like the positive stuff, but look at the record, right? So they played, they lost two out of three, 500 teams. We'll give you 500 plus teams.
Mm-hmm.
They played three games versus St. Louis, they lost two.
Mm-hmm.
The A's, they got swept. Dodgers, they got swept. And there was another team other than that. There was another team over 500 that they got swept by as well. Oh, yeah, Dodgers.
Well, the Cubs were struggling a little bit when they played them.
And the Cubs. But they're still above 500 team.
Yeah.
It's a tough team. And they're 11 games out. They're probably going to gain the game tonight, but they're almost to the point where if you go another 2 or 3 weeks and they keep playing you know, this type of ball where they win two, lose two, they're not going to make the playoffs. And I'm just being honest. You know that.
They can't play 500. They obviously have to. Yeah. They dug a hole, and they obviously have to reverse that by going on an 8-game winning streak or winning 10 out of 12, much like what Philly's doing right now. Philly has won 8 out of their last 10, and now they are 3 under 500. They were right where the Mets were, a week ago, and now they've turned it around. Now, you want to say that all has to do with Mattingly or has more to do with the talent they have actually rising to the surface? Either way, Philly has figured it out. If the Mets can figure it out within a week, that's why I try to stay positive, because we could have a conversation a week from now, Mike, and it could be a totally different conversation about this team.
Agreed. And just the last point. So I brought this up to Al last night, because Al brought up that whole Dusty Baker thing. And
yes,
I said, Al, I was actually thinking about this before. I didn't think Dusty Baker, but if they had like Osmus or even, Gibbons on the bench.
Yep.
So if they have somebody who's actually a talented or somebody who's coached before, other than this guy Correa, who's clueless, I guarantee that he's probably gone already, Mendoza.
So you're saying if they could essentially trade up or the bigger, better deal, as some would say, they would have gotten rid of Mendoza, meaning they don't want to just they don't want to promote Kai Correa or Andy Green.
Yeah, so because they're brand new. They're all brand new. Nobody really managed before, nobody really coached before. So if they had somebody who had like Osmus, right, on the bench with Boone, right?
Yep.
If they had somebody like that on their bench, he would have been gone already. Because they said, if what Al said is true, which I believe in Al 100%. And number two, if they even said that they talked to Correa, they wanted somebody with experience. So if they had somebody with experience on the bench, Mendoza would have been gone already. But listen, Tommy, most important, have a great week. I'll call you next week, and I'll let you know how the game was on Friday. Hopefully I don't, you know, get beat up or anything.
Please do.
And let's go Knicks.
Yep, let's go Knicks. Enjoy the game, and you'll be fine. But especially if you're not wearing any gear. Now, you might be with somebody down. I didn't ask if your buddy was wearing Nick gear. If he is, they're going to start some stuff. Now, I do think the Sixer fan who was probably feeling their oats going into this series, feeling cocky, I don't think you're going to get that. And if the team starts to play, see, here's how it's going to go for you. Because this exactly played out the way it was when I was down there a couple years ago. If the Knicks have a performance like they did in game one, where they steamroll the Sixers, you got nothing to worry about. They're going to turn on the team. They're going to tuck their tails. They're going to leave, probably even early. They're going to boo the crowd. I'm telling you, they're not going to worry about the Knicks fans that are in the building. And it will be a party in the fourth quarter. If, because this is how Philly fans are, if the team, though, plays well and there's a lead late in the game, or if they win the game, then it's going to be nothing bad, but it's going to be problematic in the sense that you're going to get heckled. You're going to have a lot of tough guy energy from the Sixer fans. That absolutely will happen. So the outcome of the game and the flow of the game, and that will dictate your experience in more ways than one. And I would even say just keep your head down, but they don't care. I'm telling you, I literally, because, yeah, I might feel like I'm a boisterous guy on the radio, and you might think, oh, because I call myself a generation talent, I'm all this, I'm all that. Dude, I'm not looking for any kind of trouble, that's for sure. And I'm a skinny linguine. What am I going to do? I'm not even like I'm wiry. Forget that. I am wiry, but I'm not ripping a heater here. Can't kick a football of 60 yards. I'm a lean cuisine. I got no shot. So I'm not looking to pick a fight with anybody. Plus, I'm a public figure. But I don't want any trouble. I want to go. And I get it. You're invading their building, so they want to protect their territory, and they'll let you hear about it. And they'll get in your face a little bit. The only thing you can do in those spots is just not say anything and just move on. It's not worth it. Well, think about the level of IQ people you're dealing with down there, too. I mean, come on. So you don't even want to necessarily even remotely engage with anybody. Go do your business if you got to go to the bathroom. Get in and out as quickly as humanly possible. I would even suggest doing it during the game. Don't do like I was an idiot and did it at halftime, which was dumb, especially the flow of the game. The Sixers had come from behind and I think had the lead. Like, all the momentum had swung to Philly. So they were feeling themselves. They were feeling like tough guys. I'm telling you, if the Knicks were up 30, they wouldn't have said anything to me. They wouldn't even been there. They would have went home. So that was my experience down there. So that's for anybody going down. And I know the Sixers have done everything in their power to keep Knicks fans out of the building. Not happening. And they don't want Sixer fans to sell their tickets. Good luck. The team is down 2-0. And who knows if Embiid's going to play. Like, I can't imagine the Philly fans are going to be that pumped up and excited. If they can make it a couple extra shkatols, they're going to do that. They're going to make some money. So this attempt from Philly to not have an invasion of Knicks fans is going to fall flat on its face. It's going to be, like it always is, MSG South. So if you're in a section with Knicks fans, great. And if you have to go get some food or go to the bathroom, like I said, do it during the game and do it when the Knicks are up. You should be all right. And don't, you know, don't say anything, because what do you got to gain from it? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. No point to stoop to the level of somebody like that. Two things I always say about going to a sporting event. There's probably more than that, but these are my two big rules when you go to a sporting event. If you're on the road, especially in a heated rivalry type of situation, keep your mouth shut. And never, that's rule number one. And number two, never, and I mean ever, take a hot chick to the game. I mean, think about what you're doing. Think about what you're doing there.
Loogie!
That's just the worst. I mean, you might as well just bring you're going in the lion's den there with a big piece of meat. Cat calls, everything. I mean, especially if it's outside in the summer for
any
baseball
clowns
game.
Or anything.
Right. Especially to a baseball game. Because as you know, as the weather warms up, we walk around New York. I mean, I was driving around New York City the other night coming into work, and the weather now is starting to get a little bit warmer. I think it was the night where it was like 70 degrees at night. And I'm driving around New York City, and I'm like, spring has arrived. And with spring comes summer. And with summer comes warmer weather. Damage. So those are my two things. I would avoid that. I would avoid that. Unless you're cool with everybody staring the entire time and saying things. If that doesn't make you uncomfortable, then cool. But if it does, then I would advise you not to do it. Or tell her to cover up a little bit. It's 90 degrees outside. Why do you have me layered? Because I said so. That's why.
Any plans or anything?
Because it doesn't really work that way for dudes, does it? You know what I mean? Like, what's Tommy temperature check? That's right. I'll take the temperature of everybody. You know, does it really work for dudes in that direction? I don't know. I don't know if it does. And you'd like for guys to not, and I'm not saying guys are going to be sitting there to say anything disrespectful, but you could just feel their eyes looking at her. It's like, enough. Take a picture, it'll last longer.
Oh, hi there.
And I get it. You're sitting there watching a baseball game, which at times can be quite boring. You know what? People in the car right now definitely know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. But you see a guy there with a nice looking lady with him, and you just, if the guy, you feel for the guy because it's like, oh boy, he just knows everybody's staring.
Oh, hi there.
And the minute you go up for Cracker Jacks, you got 16 dudes trying to ask for a phone number.
I'm getting like some pizza later just by myself.
Trying to ask, yeah,
on a pizza or something.
Yes, I do know. They're trying to take her out on a date. 888-808-1019.
I'm an attractive woman.
Well, hold on. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Is perfect steak possible? Discover how at chefiq.com. Another strong performance from Mikal Bridges tonight as he has been unlocked here. Finally becoming the final Infinity Stone. Not only defensively, but offensively. Another strong performance for Bridges from both ends of the floor. He has been absolutely fantastic. And if Anunoby misses time here, and hopefully he doesn't, we should get, I would imagine, some type of update tomorrow. I would imagine by tomorrow, Mike Brown would have talked to somebody on the medical staff. Knowing Bridges is playing as well as he is helps shoulder the blow a little bit if Anunoby were to miss time. Because you at least have one guy that you know will give you strong defense, strong perimeter defense, and now can contribute buckets-wise. I mean, and if Bridges, the way he's playing, he's right around that 17, 18 points, he could be part of picking up the slack for OG and his scoring, because right now Bridges is feeling it from both ends, and he's a confident player. He just looks like a totally different guy. He looks like a totally different guy and a totally different basketball player, and it's great to watch. This is the Mikal Bridges in many ways we were waiting for. And I know he had his moments last year in the playoffs. I get it. Against Detroit, against Boston, he had his moments. Big moments. But not like this, where he is, because that's a play here, a play there, great, especially if it helps you win a playoff basketball game. But to contribute the way he is and has over the last three games, this is the Bridges that was in Phoenix. This is the Bridges that started his career in Brooklyn playing at this level. So in Phoenix, and then obviously the early stages of his career with the Nets. This is the Mikal Bridges that we all saw. This is the reason why the Knicks gave up all those picks, which I haven't heard a lot about recently because he's playing his ass off. That's the reason you do all that type of move and you trade for Bridges, and why you view him as the final Infinity Stone or the missing piece. He's been absolutely fantastic. And Mikal Bridges certainly has his detractors. He certainly has his critics. He is well on his way to silencing all of them as he continues to play outstanding basketball, not only defensively, but scoring the rock as well. He is a very confident player right now. We know the skill set is there. We've always known the skill set is there. He's a good player. A very good player and can help you in many different ways. And that's why the Knicks acquired him when they did, and that's why they gave up the picks when they did, and that's why they're giving him the money that they've given him, because they believe in the player. Even if the player hasn't shown up a lot, they know the type of player that he can be. And they know he, look, if he is this guy that we see right now, the Knicks are unstoppable. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. You can hit me up about the Knicks. By the way, if you're on your way, or not literally right this second, but if you're going to Philadelphia on Friday, love to hear from you. If you are one of the Knicks fans heading down to Philadelphia, love to hear from you right now at 888-808-1019. We'll get into the Mets a little later on in the show, Yankees as well. The phone number to join the conversation is 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.